Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Dennis Shore, Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeh Ben Chava, הרב מיר כהנה, יוסף בן מאיר, ברי הופמן, רובן הופמן, רוברט מיטמן, and ציפורה פייגי בת ליבה. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. One is the indictment of the so-called Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the implications of that. And the second is the fact that if Donald Trump is defeated for re-election next year, and the election is going to be held less than a year from now, on November 3rd, 2020, less than a year from now, we're going to have the presidential election in the U.S. And if he's defeated for re-election, I believe that he's likely to be indicted. I believe he's likely to be indicted, and that there's a very good chance, a very high chance, that he would go to prison for a period of time, that he would actually serve a prison term. We'll discuss that after we talk about what happened in Israel. Well, finally, a decision came down, and the Attorney General of Israel decided to issue an indictment against Benjamin Netanyahu, the so-called Prime Minister of Israel, on three different cases. I'm not going to go into the details because it's too complicated for Americans who are not familiar with what's going on in Israel. I'm not going to go into all the details. The charges involve bribery, involve a whole series of betrayal of trust as holding office, and I don't even want to go into the details. Needless to say, he faces many years in prison if convicted. And our view on this is probably different from the view of other people who call themselves right-wing, so-called right-wing Jews, because so-called right-wing Jews usually support Netanyahu because they think he's a right-wing prime minister, when in fact, he is worse than the left. The phony right in Israel is worse than the left. Over 90% of the retreats from the land of Israel since the 1967 Six-Day War were carried out not by left-wing governments, but by the phony right Likud governments. The retreat from the Sinai, the retreat from Hebron, the retreats in the Y agreements that when Bibi handed over territory to the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat. And he gave up, by the way, 97% of Hebron, the second holiest city in the world, to Arafat. The overwhelming majority of surrenders of land since the 1967 Six-Day War have taken place under Likud governments, under the so-called right-wing governments, not under left-wing governments, because the phony right is able to carry out these retreats and surrenders. And of course, the terrible expulsion, the criminal expulsion of 10,000 Jews in Gush Katif, in Gaza. That was carried out under Arik Sharon, who was supposed to be the ultimate right-winger, a complete fraud, a complete corrupt, evil, lying fraud. Yimach Shmo v'zichro, Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. The left could never have done Gush Katif. The left would never have succeeded in doing the retreat from all of Sinai that Menachem Begin did. The left could never have carried out some of the terrible things that the phony right was able to carry out, because when the left is in power, most Israelis say, "Oh, you're going too far." They don't have confidence in a left-wing government guarding their security, and so most Israelis oppose them when they try to surrender land or when they try to do these terrible things. I'm not saying the left doesn't do damage. The left is terrible, and the left does do terrible damage when they're in power as well. But they're unable to do as much damage as the phony right. For instance, Netanyahu has, for the past decade, frozen Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and even Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Has done everything he can to sabotage any building of any Jewish building or any moving of Jews to these essential areas. And if Jews, unless Jews move to these essential areas, unless we have more Jews there, we constantly face the danger of the establishment of a so-called Palestinian state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. That's an Arab myth and an Arab lie. But the danger exists. And the more Jews you move there, the more difficult it is to surrender that land. And under Netanyahu, we've had a building freeze in effect for a whole decade already, something that the left never did when they were in power. They were unable to do it when they were in power. There would have been too much resistance if they tried to do it when they were in power. So Netanyahu is more dangerous than the left. And he's now facing a long prison term. He deserves no mercy at all. No mercy at all. He will not be able to form a new government. He's still, by the way, he's still remaining as prime minister for now, even though he was indicted. He's still remaining, he's still serving as prime minister. And we may have a Knesset election for the third time in 1 year because of this. The third time in a year, Israel's going to have national elections. Or at least it looks like there's a possibility that they've already had two elections, two national elections in 1 year. That would be like in the United States if you had two presidential elections in 1 year. And now the possibility of a third election, a third national election in 1 year, because they're unable to form a government. Again, Bibi Netanyahu deserves no mercy. No mercy on this. First of all, he is corrupt. He is a thief and a liar and a fraud. And he's guilty on all of these charges. He's guilty on all of these charges. There's no question about that. Now, it's true that the left-wing prosecutor's office and the left-wing judges and the left-wing establishment in Israel, that they have judged him with a double standard. For some reason, I don't know why they don't like him, because he actually does whatever they tell him to do. So I don't know why they don't like him for some reason. But the left-wing establishment that has indicted him are hypocritical, because left-wing prime ministers like Yitzhak Rabin, like Shimon Peres, like Ehud Barak were far more corrupt than Netanyahu, and nothing was done against them. Ehud Olmert actually did go to prison, spent several years in prison. He was prime minister, and then he was out of office when they indicted him and when they put him in prison. Now, even though it's hypocritical for them to charge him, and even though the indictments are hypocritical, he deserves no mercy. Why? Because he is now complaining. He's now saying, look at these prosecutors with their political agenda. Look what Shai Nitzan, who's a very left-wing, self-hating, Judenrat, capo, scum-of-the-earth prosecutor, he's the chief prosecutor in Israel. And Mandelblit, who is the attorney general, another left-wing, self-hating Jew with a kippah on his head who claims to be religious, the lowest scum of the earth, the lowest servants of the establishment, of the evil Erev Rav establishment in Israel. And Netanyahu is saying, look how unfair they are, look how unjust they are, it's so obvious they have a political agenda and a political axe to grind, and look at this witch hunt. He's using terms that Trump uses. Look at the witch hunt and look how unfair this is. And it's like a coup, Netanyahu is saying. But it is Netanyahu who appointed Mandelblit to be attorney general. It is Netanyahu who's responsible for the left-wing prosecutors, because the Likud was first brought into power in Israel in 1977, on May 17th, 1977. That was the first time the Likud won. And since 1977, most of the time we've had Likud, so phony right Likud governments in Israel, most of the time since 1977. And the Likud never replaced the far left judges on the Supreme Court, the far left judges on Israel's lower courts. Never replaced them, never took any step to change that, and Netanyahu defended that system. Netanyahu opposed any attempt to end the far-left domination. 90% of Israel's judges are on the extreme left. More than 90%. Netanyahu never did a thing, not only never did a thing to replace them, he fought against any effort to in any way reform the selection of judges in Israel so that you could have a more balanced court in Israel. I mean, in Israel, you know what it's like? It would be like in America if all 9 Supreme Court judges were like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's what we have in Israel. And Netanyahu not only did nothing to change that system, he supported it. He defended it. He sabotaged every effort to make any changes. There were attempts here and there to make reforms sometimes. Netanyahu was always opposed. He did everything he could to oppose it and bragged that he was opposing any changes. And so he left the left-wing establishment in power and created this Frankenstein monster. He thought if he leaves the left-wing, the far left in power, that, you know, that they'll be grateful to him for letting them retain their power and that they won't resist and fight against him as prime minister. Also, he agreed with many of their left-wing prosecutions and many of their left-wing policies because he himself is actually a leftist. He, in reality, is a leftist himself, even though he presents himself as a phony right candidate when he runs for political office. He created this Frankenstein monster of a Supreme Court and a prosecutor's office and attorney general, all on the extreme left. He created this Frankenstein monster that has now turned on him. Netanyahu now wants sympathy from people. He wants people to feel sorry for him that he's in this situation. But he didn't feel sorry for the dozens of young Jewish heroes in Judea and Samaria who were brutally tortured by the Shabakh, which is the Israeli equivalent to the FBI, really, the KGB in Israel, brutally torturing dozens of Israeli Jewish teenagers because they claimed that these teenagers were part of a group called Tag Mechir that retaliates against Arab terrorism. And so dozens of young Jews who in fact really had nothing to do with it, who even after the torture, the Shabak had to let them go because they really had nothing to do with it. Dozens of these young Jews were taken into custody and tortured, brutally tortured. I mean, these were like war crimes that they committed against young Jews. Things they would never do to Arab terrorist mass murderers, they did to these young Jews. These self-hating Shabak criminals that Netanyahu put into power. Netanyahu kept them in power and defended them. And Naftali Bennett, when he was the so-called justice minister or the so-called education minister of Israel and the so-called justice minister of Israel, Ayelet Shaked, also phony right frauds. They defended the Shabak torturing, brutally torturing dozens of young Jews. And aside from that, I'll just give you an illustration of what Shai Nitzan, who was the main prosecutor, did to other people, while Netanyahu had no problem with it when he did this to other people. Noam Federman, a Jewish hero, a really incredible Jewish hero, and a true Kahanist, who has devoted his life to helping the Jewish people, who has at least 9 children, and maybe even 10 by now, I'm not sure, but at least 9 children, beautiful family, all heroes, all of his children are heroes, the whole family, all Jewish heroes. Live in Hebron, I mean, beautiful family, magnificent, heroic human being. I mean, just a saint. Shai Nitzan indicted him 36 or 37 times. 36 or 37 times, and even in the left-wing courts of Israel, even the left-wing judges saw this was such a farce that he was acquitted every single time except for one farce trial where they decided to convict him. What'd they convict him of? Of speaking against Sharon and speaking against the expulsion of Jews in Gush Katif. They convicted him of speaking against Sharon. You're not allowed to insult a public official according to Israeli law. Yes, Israel's not a democracy. That's baloney. And 36 or 37 times, 36, 37 different indictments against him. And he was acquitted even by left-wing judges who hate his guts. Even they were forced to acquit him because the charges were so comical, were so pathetic, were so farcical. Shai Nitzan was the prosecutor who repeatedly, mercilessly did this. This Jewish Himmler. And now the same Shai Nitzan, Netanyahu had no problem when he did this to Noam Federman or Noam Federman's family and all the suffering that he caused. Netanyahu felt no pity for Noam Federman. Netanyahu felt no pity for 16 and 17-year-old kids who were tied down to chairs and starved for days and kept up three nights in a row, not allowed to sleep, and unbelievable torture that they were put through. That by any definition is regarded as torture. The type of tactics you would expect from the Gestapo or from the KGB in the Soviet Union. And when that happened, Netanyahu defended the Shabak and defended these tactics and was all for Shai Nitzan, the prosecutor, when he did these terrible things to Jews, to good Jews, to heroic Jews. And now we're supposed to feel sorry for Netanyahu. We're supposed to feel sorry for him. Because he finally is getting, it's finally coming back to bite him. The same people that he allowed them to do this to good Jews, and now they're doing this to him. And he wants us to feel sorry for him now, this hypocrite, this fraud, this despicable animal. And I'm going to say something that some of you may be more familiar with on a personal level. In 1996, that was the first year Netanyahu was elected Prime Minister of Israel. He served for 3 years in the 1990s, and then he came back to start serving in 2009 and has been Prime Minister for the past 10 years. So a total of 13 years he's been Prime Minister. 3 years in the 90s, 10 years now. In 1996, the first year he was elected, I tried to make Aliyah for the first time. I was finally able to make Aliyah. I was no longer on probation, no longer facing any federal charges for the activities that I did to free Soviet Jews when I was the head of the Jewish Defense League. I was free and I could go to Israel finally. And so I went there. And under Netanyahu, when I went to the airport, I was arrested by Shabak agents and expelled from the country immediately. 24 hours later, I was put on a plane against my will and thrown out of the country. Something that Netanyahu does not do to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa, black Muslim illegal aliens from Africa he allows into the country. And millions of Arabs who hate Israel and hate the Jews are allowed to remain there. And tens of thousands of armed terrorists from Hamas and Fatah and ISIS are allowed to roam around Israel and murder Jews, and Netanyahu doesn't touch them. They're allowed to stay in Israel. But Netanyahu threw me out of the country. When he was prime minister, this happened, and I wrote to him and asked him to allow me to make Aliyah, and he refused. I even said that I'd be willing, if you want to put me in prison, put me in prison. I'd rather be in prison in the land of Israel than free outside of the land of Israel in the Galut. That's how much I wanted to make Aliyah. And since 1996, for more than 23 years, Netanyahu has kept me out of Israel. Did he care about what he did to me for 23 years, keeping me out of Israel, destroying my dream of going to Israel and all the good things I could have done in Israel to help over there? I could have done a lot of good over there. Did he care about that? No. And he knows the only reason I was kept out is because of my political views, because I'm a real right-winger and he's a fraud. He didn't feel any pity, not for me, not for Noam Federman, not for the dozens of Jewish teenagers who were tortured in Shabak interrogations on trumped-up charges that in the end had to be dismissed. He didn't care about any of that. None of that concerned him. Just as he didn't care about the numerous Jews that were murdered while he was prime minister, as he released many, many, many thousands of Arab terrorist murderers, convicted Arab terrorist murderers he let out of prison. Many times just as gestures to the Arab terrorists. Something the left could never get away with. He did it. And other Likud prime ministers did it. Did he care about the families of Jews whose loved ones were murdered by these Arab terrorists that he released? Did he care about the Jews whom he put in prison, innocent Jews, whose only crime was that they disagreed with his government or that they wanted to defend the Jewish people? Did he care about them? No. He deserves no mercy. He's scum. Scum! He deserves no... I hope he goes to prison for a long time. I hope he goes to prison for a very long time. Now, I don't know whether or not there's going to be a new election or if they're going to be able to put a government together. I think that the odds seem to favor a third election in a row. It's just crazy over there. But, you know, we don't have any horse in that race because all of the there are no real right-wing, truly honest, loyal Land of Israel candidates that would be running. There aren't any. And so, you know, we're going to continue to bring the truth to the people of Israel. We have an advertising campaign on our videos. Our Hebrew videos are reaching the people of Israel. Every day, people see our videos with our ads. And tens of thousands of Israelis are being exposed to our message. The type of message you hear here is being transmitted to the people of Israel in shorter form, in commercial form, you know, 1 or 2 minute videos, but the message is getting out with our positions and the arguments for our positions within that 1 or 2 minute framework. So we're trying to reach the people of Israel with the truth. We're going to continue to do so. Israel is in a lot of trouble and a lot of danger because of a little country surrounded by Arab and Iranian Muslims who want to destroy them. The Arab Muslim population, they're outnumbered 100 to 1, the Jews. The Jews are outnumbered by the Arabs 100 to 1 in the Middle East. And the Arabs have 600 times the land that little Israel has. And so, of course, in a situation like that, when on top of that, the leaders in Israel are all traitors, are cowards and traitors like Netanyahu, we're in a very, it's an incredible miracle. It's a ness. Ness means miracle in Hebrew. It's an incredible ness that the Jewish people have survived. What a miracle. You have to be blind not to see the hand of God in the survival of the Jewish people, in the victories of the Jewish people against all odds, against all possibilities. Hopeless situation. And the Jews survive and win. Just hopeless. You got to be blind not to see that this is God. So that's the situation in Israel. But you'll be proud to know that, and those of you who are JTFers should be proud, that you're part of a movement and an organization that at least is the one group that is bringing the truth to the people of Israel, because someday the people of Israel will wake up. And when the people of Israel truly wake up and we have a true Jewish prime minister, that will bring the final redemption to the world. Because God is just waiting to bring the final redemption. Our return to the land of Israel is the sign that the final redemption would be at hand if only we finally woke up and did what was right. Now, Donald Trump may soon face the same situation as Netanyahu. Because if he's defeated for re-election, I think he's going to face indictment. I think there's a very good chance, a high likelihood. Now, as president, Trump won't be indicted because they created rules that a president can't be indicted. So he's not going to be indicted as president. But if he's defeated for re-election next year, he probably will be indicted. The new Democrat Attorney General that Elizabeth Warren or Pete the Booty Edge, or as one of our more clever and creative JTFers called him, Fruity Booty or Booty Fruity. If Booty Fruity becomes president, or if Bernie Sanders or any of these other creatures become president, you don't think the Democrat Attorney General is going to... They've already said he's committed crimes. They've already found him guilty. You don't think that they're going to want to indict him? And remember, if they indict him, where would he face trial? In Washington, D.C. If he's indicted by the... If he faces a federal indictment by a Democrat Attorney General... And, you know, Adam Schiff, by the way, may be the next attorney general if the Democrats win. You know that these Democrats fanatically hate Trump. So they indict him. He faces trial in Washington, D.C. He has to face a Washington, D.C. jury because under federal law, you have to be tried in the jurisdiction where the offenses supposedly took place. And they claim the offenses took place in the White House. He'd have to be tried in Washington, D.C. He would have an all-black jury in Washington, D.C. The juries in D.C. are 96-97% black. He would have an almost all-black, he would almost certainly have an all-black jury. If not all black, then 11 out of 12 jurors would be black. They'll give him a very fair trial. Oh, yes. He'll have a good chance among all these D.C. black jurors to get a fair trial. Oh, sure. And he would face a long prison term because what they would accuse him of, all the things they would accuse him of, obstruction, not just obstruction of justice, but they would accuse him of many other, all types of other offenses that they would come up with. If the jury finds him guilty, they find him guilty. And he'd face a long prison term. And it's not just in D.C. where he has problems with the feds. In New York State, you don't think the New York State Attorney General, I forgot even what her name is, she's a black anti-Semite, who's the new New York State Attorney General, she's already launched a million investigations against him. She's already found him guilty, of course, before anything even started, before she even took office, she found him guilty. You don't think she would want to indict him in New York State, where again he'd be tried in Manhattan. Manhattan voted 87% for Hillary Clinton in 2016. 87%. Manhattan is an island in New York City, for those of you who don't know. There are five boroughs or counties in New York City. Five boroughs in New York City. Manhattan is one of the boroughs, and it's an island where you have Wall Street, and you have the media centers, and you have Times Square, and so on. And Manhattan is also where Trump lives, in Trump Tower, when he's not president. And so they'll indict him in Trump Tower. They'll indict him in Manhattan. They can't wait to indict him. They were trying to explore a way to indict him now, even though he's president, and they found that they can't do it. But they'd like to. They want to indict him right now. If he's not president, he has no protection against indictment. None. And so the district attorney of Manhattan, Cyrus Vance, would love to indict him. Another extreme left-winger. And the Attorney General of New York State would love to indict him on state charges. And he'd face a jury in Manhattan where 87% of the vote went to Hillary Clinton. I'm sure he'd get a very fair trial in New York City and in Manhattan. And by the way, the media, you think the media nationally is left-wing? You can't imagine what the media is like in New York City. Pravda and the Communist Party would be proud of the media. The Pravda and the Soviet Communist media would be very proud of the media in New York City. I mean, the media in New York City, you can't imagine what it's like. So the media would be a media circus, and you can imagine a district attorney would go down in history and would receive such massive publicity for indicting Donald Trump. Can you imagine the publicity that would get? If he was on trial and you see him in court every day and he's facing all these charges, can you imagine how much publicity a district attorney would get? Can you imagine how famous that would make the district attorney? Imagine how famous it would make a New York State Attorney General. You think they're not going to go for that if they can? You think they're not going to go for that? You better believe they're going to want to go for that. So he's in a lot of trouble. He's in a lot of trouble if he doesn't get reelected. Now, if he gets reelected, the statute of limitations would run out on a lot of these possible charges because there's a five-year statute of limitation on almost all the charges that he would face as a five-year statute of limitations. So assuming he doesn't get himself into trouble on anything else in the next 4 years, if he was reelected, the statute would run out by the time he finished his second term. So he has a good chance of pulling through if he's reelected second term. But if he doesn't, Netanyahu will be in a prison cell in Israel. He'll be in a prison cell in the United States. Wow, what a situation. And you know, I can't stand Donald Trump. I don't like him. I think he's completely immoral. But we support him because the Democrats are so much worse than him, particularly on the issue of Israel. And Israel is the issue we care about. We don't pretend that we don't care about Israel. That Israel is our issue. That's our baby. That's our issue. As Jews and even righteous Gentiles, Israel should be the number one issue in the world. Because it, based upon what happens with Israel, God decides the destiny of the world. That's what it says in the Bible. That's what all the prophets say. But the sheer hypocrisy of seeing people like Adam Schiff and seeing people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Obama and the Clintons, I mean, they are going after Donald Trump? As bad as Donald Trump is, they're 1,000 times worse. So the hypocrisy and the double standard, that's really shows you that there's no real honesty in the criminal justice system in the United States either. And the media certainly has never been honest. They're complete lying, evil frauds and traitors. We're going to be supporting Trump for re-election because the Democrats are worse. That's the bottom line. That's what we're stuck with. I wish we had had a really good president like Ted Cruz, but we don't have that. So we're stuck with Trump, and we've got to support him. We have no choice because the alternative is even a bigger nightmare than the nightmare we're in now. One more thing I want to mention. We mentioned last week that Pete the Booty Edge, the same person, by the way, that called him Fruity Booty, also said that the booty seems to have the edge now. I mean, very clever stuff he comes up with, this JTFer, who's a great JTFer. Pete the Booty, we told you that he had a big lead in the latest polls in Iowa, and he does. One poll shows him ahead 7.7%, which is a substantial lead. The other poll shows him ahead 9 points. So he's taken the lead in the Iowa polls. Now a poll comes out in New Hampshire where he's ahead 10 points in New Hampshire. Iowa is the first state that votes. New Hampshire is the second state. If he wins those two states, just so that you'll know, no one since 1976, when they started when primaries determine who the nominees of major parties are, you know, in the old days the party bosses used to decide. But since 1972, when the nominees of the two major parties have been decided in primaries by the voters, since 72, every time that a candidate has won in both Iowa and New Hampshire, they've gone on to win the nomination. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have an exception this time, that you know, it's possible because you're still, after Iowa and New Hampshire, you still have 48 other states that will vote. But winning Iowa and New Hampshire gives you such a burst of momentum that since 72, it is always meant when a candidate wins both of those states, it is always meant that they go on to win the nomination, Democrats and Republicans. That's been true for. So if the booty wins in Iowa and in New Hampshire, it's going to be hard to stop him from winning the nomination. Even though he has a lot of problems with black voters, for some reason, you can't get more pro-black than he is, but black voters, because he fired a black police commissioner, they're never going to forgive him for that. So he has some problems with black voters who play a major role in the Democrat primaries in the South. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to be, but he certainly has a real chance of getting the nomination, and he is an anti-Semite, and he is anti-Israel. Make no mistake about that. As all the Democrat candidates are. All the Democrat candidates are disastrous on Israel, disastrous on Iran, disastrous on all the issues that we care about. And they will also destroy America. Aside from that, they'll make America, they'll take America down the road to complete socialism and bankrupt the United States. Just remember one thing. In the end, the good guys are going to win. It's something I've told you now for years. I may not live to see it. I'm 63 years old. I am 63 years old. And so I don't know if I'll live to see it. But, and probably not. But eventually the good guys are going to win. God promises that. Eventually the people of Israel are going to wake up, and we see the fulfillment of biblical prophecy with Israel. You've got to be a fool not to realize that everything God promises is going to come true. It will come true. And so eventually the good guys are going to win. We just want to make sure that before that happens, there isn't terrible unnecessary suffering and catastrophes that befall the Jewish people and befall the world. Until then, until that ultimate victory comes. That's what we're trying to avoid, unnecessary suffering and catastrophe and death and destruction until then. Because there could be terrible death and destruction and catastrophe that could happen to wake people up. It could be the hard way. If it's done the hard way, God forbid, terrible, terrible tragedies could come. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So that's what our mission is. That's what we're working for. But remember, God is in charge. And in the end, the good guys are going to win. Even though right now, just as predicted, just as all the Nevi'im, all the prophets predicted, in the final generation, be'acharit hayamim, in the final days, in the end of days, it was predicted that this is what we would have, that it's playing out exactly the way it was predicted. So, but don't let that fool you, because it's not going to continue to be like that. In the end, there's going to be eternal redemption for those who are worthy, in the end. Until then, though, we've got to struggle to wake people up as quickly as possible. That's what our mission is. That's what we're here for. And that's why you should be proud to be part of JTF. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.